Scripture reading, we turn to John 14, John 14, and we begin our reading in verse 15, and we read through verse 31, 15 through 31. Hear the Lord's word to us. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me and keep my words, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the words which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thus far, a reading of God's precious word. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, probably most of us enjoy the gift of friendship. Although you and I look around in our society and we see a growing loneliness, despite of all the ways we connect these days, social media, digitally, or whatever. So many ways to connect, and yet there is this loneliness, growing loneliness within our society. We treasure friendships, don't we? We treasure them. And we desire them. And it's a legitimate desire. It's a good desire from the Lord. Whether we are younger or older, whether we are married or in a relationship or widowed or perhaps unmarried with a deep desire to be married. Friends are important. They are an important influence in our lives. And they are part of our lives. And this afternoon we would like to think and consider a very, very special friendship. The Lord Jesus had been with his disciples. We read about from chapter 14 of John. The Lord Jesus had been a very, very special friend to his disciples. He says in the surrounding verses of our text, which is part of the Upper Room Discourse, just before he was about to die, he says, Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I call you no longer servants, I call you friends when you do what I command you. That's what the Lord Jesus describes here. He has this special friendship with his disciples. They were intimate friends. However, the Lord just showed them in our text and in the passage that we are going to consider that he was going to leave them. And what a shock must that have been to them. But in our text, the Lord also promises that they will have a very precious friendship, another precious friendship. It's the friendship of the Holy Spirit, which should not be considered less in any way of his very own physical presence. And so our text for this afternoon is John 14:16-18. It speaks here about this glorious friendship of the Holy Spirit, which we would like to consider. We do this for two reasons. To strengthen you, dear believer, to embrace this truth so that you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the work of the Spirit to glorify Christ in our lives. And also, if you have to say this afternoon, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know this beautiful relationship with the Lord, that you would be very jealous and that you would desire this more than anything else. So the Spirit's friendship, our text is John 14:16-18. Let us read together. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Our text says five things. Five things about this friendship of the Spirit. It's given. It's forever. It is truth-filled. It is indwelling. And it is comforting. Let's just take them one by one. I will mention them as we go. First of all, it's given. The Spirit is a gift. So let's look at our text again. Verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter. So the disciples have enjoyed this precious friendship, as we heard. And now they are troubled. And now the Lord Jesus says in our text, assuring them that his physical absence is not a disadvantage. Not at all. It will be similar, even better, better than his physical presence. When our Lord ascended into heaven, he did so to pray the Father. Our text says, I will pray the Father, to ask of the Father a favor, a beautiful gift. Now, we all enjoy gifts, children, don't we? We like gifts. Birthday gifts, graduation gifts. We all are gifted with gifts, talents, skills. And this world is actually full of gifts. It's full of gifts, which come all from the Father of light, James says. And he's the gracious giver of all these gifts. But think what a gift friendship of the Savior was with those disciples. Beautiful gift. They were with him. They walked the earth with him. They followed him. They loved him. Not in the way love is defined these days. That's just lust. That's nothing else. No, it was pure, holy love. And they loved him, and he loved them, and he taught them, and they saw these beautiful miracles before their eyes. And they undoubtedly noticed his beautiful character. What do you think about his grace, his graciousness, his kindness, his care, his power on display, his self-denial, even to the cross, his compassion? Jesus must have been the best person to be around on this earth, a sinless person, because his words are full of grace and truth. It's the best person, unless you don't like his truth. Unless you don't like his truth. Hardened sinners and hypocrites, they didn't like to be around Jesus. A holy person exposed their own unholiness. But his disciples loved to be there. His disciples loved to be around. And still it is like that. If you desire after Jesus Christ, you desire also to be holy like Christ. Christ's friendship must have been so special, better than any earthly friendship. And then he says, I will leave you. Yet, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to send you a precious gift. Precious gift. Just like when a girlfriend or a boyfriend is going to take a long trip, and he wants to leave something tangible behind that the other one can really touch, like a photo or a ring or a rose or something. And so Jesus here promises something too. To leave something behind as a sign of his love, of his faithfulness to his disciples. Ephesians speaks about it. Ephesians says in Ephesians 1 that he gives an earnest. And what is that earnest? It is the Spirit of God. And he goes to his Father and he says, I will pray the Father that he gives this gift to you, to the disciples. And what is this gift? Well, first of all, he went into heaven, as we know, to pray for this beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So that the promise Old Testament is pregnant of, that promise that not only the Jews but also the heathen would be gathered in, the nations would come to know the salvation of the Lord. That is what he was going to do. We read about his prayer in Psalm 2. Ask of me, we read there, and I will give the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possessions. He just has to ask, and it happens. What a gift. What a glorious salvation. And this is the first thing. But that's not all. The Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit coming down at Pentecost. But it's more than that. This is the gift of friendship. The friendship of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling power of God in every one of his children. Because our text says, and he shall give you another comforter. Now when we hear these words, we need to notice two things. First, it's a comforter. What does that mean? And secondly, another comforter. First, it is a comforter. This, the Holy Spirit, he is a comforter. It's not just a normal friend. It's a very, very special friend. The word means helper, counselor, encourager, advocate, mediator. Advocate, we know that word, right? Someone who comes alongside and helps you to defend you in court, to help in times of need, to comfort in times of sorrow. In other words, everything a true friend does and more. But that's not all. The little word, another, is such a beautiful word. Because this same word is used, this word comforter is also used for the Lord Jesus. 1 John 2:1. If any man sin, we have an advocate. Same word, comforter, with the Father. Someone who comes alongside. Someone who helps us. Jesus Christ the righteous. He comes alongside in our trouble with sin. Before the Father. the mediator. And now here it is said, that same word is said about the Holy Spirit, which shows us that the promised gift, the Holy Spirit, the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, is a Christ-like gift. It's like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a helper, an encourager, a comforter, a counselor, an advocate. And so the Spirit will be to His disciples. What a relief must that have been. If we and they would understand this. Do we? This is something amazing to grasp. He will send us His friendship like His. The Holy Spirit lives in every believer, the Bible teaches us, to help us, to defend us, to encourage us, to teach us. As we seek to live close to the Lord, what a gift. Have you, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, also received this gift? Because it comes along with faith. Faith is worked by the Holy Spirit, and then also the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. Maybe you ask, how? Well, do you enjoy this relationship? Let me ask this question. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him? Are you attracted by the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you value Him, especially also as your advocate before the Father? Because you know, when you look inside, you need one. You need one. Your sins, you cannot atone for them. But you have seen, Jesus did. And when you sin, do you go to Him? Do you confess? You don't want to stay away from Him. Trust Him. Trust His promises. The assurance that He gives, that He forgives sin, your sin. Is His presence really something, has that become something that you really thirst for, long after? And are you sad and discouraged when He is not close? Those are signs. If you say yes, I long, I love Him, I want to be close to Him, those are signs that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. Because the devil doesn't like these kind of feelings and desires, does he? He attacks those feelings. But when we learn and value this friendship, and we learn to hunger and long after Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit works that in us, we see Jesus, my Savior, for my sins. And He gives us this promise. Yes, the Father gives the promise. Gives and promises us the Holy Spirit. But not only to those. If you're here this afternoon and you say, but I'm not a believer, so what about me? He still gives the Holy Spirit to all those who ask. Luke 11, Lord Jesus promises, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Far more than a father is willing to give something bad to his children, like a stone and a serpent. No, that's not who the Lord God is. No, He gives good gifts. Good gifts. When you ask for the Holy Spirit. So if you have to say, I don't love and need Jesus for my sin at this moment, then I ask you, come and ask for this amazing gift, because it's worth it. Let's look at it further. The second thing that we consider here about the Spirit friendship is that it is forever. We look at our text again. We continue reading. And then we read, that he may abide with you forever. So the Spirit will come to his disciple that he may abide with you. Jesus was leaving. The Spirit is coming. And he is not intended to leave. His intention is to stay. The purpose of the Spirit is to have this fellowship, this communion, this constant indwelling, this constant friendship, to abide with you, to stay. Now, young people, you might have those times when you are with your friends and you enjoy the time so much. You can go to places together, and you probably visit each other's homes, and sometimes you might stay for a night or something, and then you want to spend this time, you want to stay, and you want to abide with this your friend, right? To the late evening hours, perhaps. But every time, there comes a time that we have to leave again. Well, the Spirit, the friendship rather, still remains. But we have all our own duties, so we have to part ways. But Jesus here says something about the Spirit, something amazing. He's given to stay. He's given to stay, not to leave. Not to leave. This is truly amazing friendship, because every earthly friendship that we might have ends one day or another. When you or your friend moves to a different place, the friendship might move with it. Or perhaps you have experienced the pain of losing a friend or a spouse. Accident, illness, friendship ends in death. We know that. But what does Jesus say about this amazing gift of the Spirit? He says, he comes to stay with you, to be a companion with you forever. Taste these words, forever, without end. When you are a believer, if you are in Christ through faith this afternoon, you have a forever friend through the Holy Spirit. And this is precious. This is priceless. Better than any earthly friendship. Maybe you say, well, that all sounds good, but I often don't experience it like that. When I became a Christian, yes, maybe there was a time of that great joy, but now I look at my life, perhaps you are here at this moment and saying, my Bible reading seems like a chore. My prayers are monotonous. I often wonder, do I really know? Well, if that's your problem, then I ask you, do you believe that he abides with you forever? And the second question that I want to ask you, have you maintained this relationship through prayer? Through Bible study. Because that's how he speaks. That's his love letter to us. That's him talking. We unburdening our hearts to him. Saying that we desire him. And that we love him. And that we need him desperately. And he's speaking back through the words to us. Saying, I do love you. I do care for you. Have we maintained that? Wanting, desiring to hear, when we open our Bibles, to hear his voice. Speak to us. And you might wonder, yes, okay, Bible reading, prayer, but how else can I enjoy this relationship? Well, verse 14 says this as well. If you ask in anything in my name, I will do it. So through prayer. So how do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? Well, if we pray and we see answers to our prayers. When was the last time that you and I saw a direct answer to our prayers? That we say, yes, that's what the Lord gave me to pray. And now I see it. Look at it. That's another encouragement. That's another encouragement. Or are we perhaps praying in a selfish way? God needs to do exactly what I want. In other words, I am God rather than God is God. It's a very simple truth, but how often we forget that. How often we forget that. Verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then, verse 16 says, and I will give you my spirit. So, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obedience. Obedience is part of maintaining this relationship with the Holy Spirit. Keep my commandments. I will give you my spirit. Verse 24 says to us, he that loveth me not keeps not my sayings. So here's another question. When you are reading the scriptures, are you seeking to read in order to humbly and joyfully obey? That's what it is talking about. He that loveth me not keeps not my sayings. But if we love, we want to treasure, we want to obey. So that this abiding presence of the Holy Spirit can be truly enjoyed. In other words, does it mean something to you that Jesus shows that without abiding in Him, that is the power of the Holy Spirit, you and I can do nothing really? Does that say something to you? Have you learned that lesson? We cannot do anything without the power, abiding power of the Holy Spirit in us. Well, we can do all kinds of things, active things that look good perhaps. But really, if we want to do something lasting for the kingdom of God, something spiritually beneficial, you and I, we need to depend on the power of prayer and on the power of the Holy Spirit. And we need to walk humbly with our Lord in obedience. That's what we need. This Spirit comes to stay, to abide with us forever. Let me ask this question. How often do you really pray to the Holy Spirit? Lord, come. Lord, Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Equip me. Enter into my heart. When I open my Bible, help me with prayer. When we don't, it can become a chore, prayer and Bible reading. But when we know there is a friend, a comforter, one who comes alongside to help us to see what we need to see, it's the Holy Spirit. That transforms the way we read our Bibles. God, through His Spirit, comes alongside, helps us. The Holy Spirit has come to believers to abide, to you, uninterruptedly. Now, where is the problem then? When it is interrupted, it must be our sign. And see, there is something important. When the Spirit comes, it comes with truth. And that's the third thing. We saw something about this already this morning in a different context. But it says in verse 17 that this Spirit is called even the Spirit of truth. So that's our third point, truth-filled. When you and I hang out with friends, how often do we speak the truth to one another? How often do we lovingly confront one another as a church, family as well? Lovingly, not in a haughty way. Confront each other when we see there's something not right in the life of a brother or a sister. Not in a haughty way. No. We need to remember that the speck and the log and so on, with prayer, with humility. Do we dare to? If we do, that shows how our friendship is a good friendship. True friendship can handle the truth, really. Can handle the truth. You might have experienced friendships, maybe in the past, that when a certain conflict comes and you say the truth, maybe even gently and lovingly, this person cannot handle it. Because this person has no desire to say sorry or to ask for forgiveness. The only thing that your friendship was with this person was, I want to hear affirmation. You need to be on my side. In my way. That's different. A true friendship, a good friendship, can handle the truth. And we need the truth. And so the spirit friendship in our lives uncovers our lies and our dishonesty and our sins through the Word of God. It helps us to repent of our sins, turn from them, and find forgiveness in the Lord. John 16, verse 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. That's the task of the Spirit. The Spirit of truth does that in the world, but it also continues to do that in the lives of believers. Especially when we don't treasure this amazing friendship. The Spirit needs to come and say, hey, wake up. Walk in the light. Not in the darkness. So that our works might be clearly done in the power of the Spirit. And see, unbelievers have a problem with that. Unbelievers have problems with that exposing light. Verse 17 says it again. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. By nature, like the world, we don't like to have our sins exposed. We love to hide them in the dark. But the Spirit cannot be in a place where it's not allowed to be dark. Allowed to shine in the dark, rather. When the Spirit works, we learn to agree and mourn over our sinfulness. That's different with the worldly person. A carnal person is perfectly happy when he can just live on. Just live on. Cannot see spiritual things and doesn't value them either. And that's fine. Our text says they are not able to receive the Spirit. And as a consequence, spiritual things. They are not able to see them or know them. Know here means intimately know. Really know. Not just with our minds, but with everything in us, as we heard this morning. And also in the sense of admire and love and treasure and taste and see that the Lord is good. That kind of knowing. We are called by this text, therefore, to foster a deep love of truth in our lives. So that we see the beauty of the Spirit's work, even when He painfully exposes our sins. Remember what happened at Pentecost? Children, you know that, right? They were pricked in their heart. Like a sword pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what must we do? That's the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, and we need to welcome it because it's something precious. It's the love of God wanting us to be sanctified, it's a great blessing. It's really a great blessing of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. forth, indwelling. Our text continues to show this close relationship between the believer and the gracious Holy Spirit. Look at verse 17. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now there is something going on in these verses, which is awesome, but you only can see it in the Greek, unfortunately. The English doesn't necessarily show this. In verse 16, it says that the Spirit abides with the believer forever. The idea here is fellowship, companionship, spending time together. Verse 17 is using a different word for with you. He dwelleth with you. Better translated would be, he dwells by you. By you. The idea here is that the Spirit will be personally present with us. We will dwell in His presence. So where we are, the Spirit is there with us. And then it says, and shall be in you. Believers are not just close. We don't just dwell in the presence of the Spirit. But the Spirit now dwells in us. In every believer. Closer is not possible. Friends can stay with us in our house. In marriage we enjoy a very special friendship and a close union. But there's nothing like this spiritual friendship of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is indeed amazing. Because through it, God not just comes close, but here's the thing. Think about it. Eternal God made the heavens and the earth, as I said this morning as well, the Holy One, the Just One, the Merciful, the Kind God, now says, when it comes to the Spirit, I will be at home with you. I will be at home with you. That's amazing. I will be at home. I will be your strong support, your protection, your life, your spiritual strength. I will be in you. More intimate is not possible. Think about it for a moment. When you are a believer, God has made His home in you. He indwells you. Intimately, very personally, He knows exactly what you need. Lovingly, with His grace, He comes. With His compassion, He looks down upon you. He favors you. He comes when you need His wisdom. All that. What an incredible friendship. What an incredible friendship. Which of our friendship are like that? There's nothing quite like it. Well, marriage is a little bit. Same picture. But that's not all. When you continue to read this chapter, it goes even further. Verse 23 says, if a man love me and keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with you. We, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will feel at home. Just as the Holy Spirit indwells the believer, so the Father and the Son through the Spirit also indwell. To be in the believer through the Spirit's presence. We cannot separate one person, this mysterious Trinity, right? We cannot separate one person from the other. If you have the Spirit, you have the whole God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit represents every person of the Trinity in our lives. The triune God has made you his temple, his dwelling place. How humbling. How humbling, really. This eternal, transcendent God, this Spirit that created us, and now through His blood redeems us, comes, says, I'm at home. I'm at home. Believer, do you sometimes struggle to really embrace this truth? But this is the reality. It's not just a doctrine. Not just a doctrine. This is the reality. Do we really believe it? Are you really amazed by it? Because it is amazing. I don't know how to express it very well. But this is amazing. It's truly glorious that God comes for Jesus' sake and lives in us. That's our comfort. And it is comforting. That's our last point. Comforting. You might be here this afternoon and you might have had a traumatic past in which, when it comes to all kinds of relationships and friendships, perhaps maybe you have gone through the pain of friends and family leaving you. Maybe you have been abandoned for whatever reason. Maybe you moved away from whatever reason and friendship broke off, and you have perhaps felt torn apart or deeply forsaken. And then especially to you this afternoon, especially to you, listen to this amazing promise, which becomes true for you through faith in Jesus Christ. From the end of verse 16, we already learn that the indwelling of the Spirit is forever. And now in verse 18, it's reinforced, it's stressed again. What does it say? I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Literally, it means, I will not leave you orphans. We all know what orphans are. It's a person who lacks support, care, and supervision from the parents especially, because often it's because of death. So just before the Lord Jesus was about to leave, suffering and dying, this is what the Lord Jesus promises. I leave you, but you know and believe and trust you are cared for. You are cared for. You won't be without my friendship. You won't be a person without friends. You won't be forsaken. You won't be alone. When my Spirit dwells in you, you have the best friendship on earth. Psalter puts it like this in Psalm 25. They that fear and love the Lord shall Jehovah's friendship know. He will grace to them accord, and His faithful covenant show. Covenant love to the end, forever. Faithful. Faithful. Whatever circumstances, the Spirit's friendship is faithful. It is forever. It leaves no one comfortless who, through faith, is engrafted in the Lord Jesus Christ. There may be times that you go through difficulties and trials. Yes. That you also maybe have times that you lose sight of that hope. Yes. There may be times that you go through relationship troubles. There may be times, or will be times, when a closest friend could forsake you. But here is the promise. Here is the promise. For every child of God here this afternoon, I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you behind without being taken care of. without the supervision and the parenting, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. For the Spirit lives in us and makes us His home and stays there forever. You might have spiritual dryness because we can still grieve and quench the Holy Spirit through careless living and an attachment to the sin and to worldliness, through apathy, maybe to seek to walk in step with the Spirit through Bible reading, through prayer. Apathy, yes. Prayerlessness. Our desire for other friends, and we place them over this friendship. For other lovers, for idols, whom we put over the friendship of Christ in the power of the Spirit. But this is true. For every true believer, the Spirit friendship is faithful to the end. I will not leave you orphans. I will keep an eye on you. I will be with you. I will live in you. What a comfort. What an amazing, tremendous blessing. And what a promise. What a glorious God we serve. And our text finishes with these simple words: I will come to you. He came. Pentecost. What happened? 3,000 souls convicted, converted, added to the church. What a glorious revival. He came. I will come to you. This is what the Lord still does. This is a promise that we may plead for the Lord Jesus' sake. Personally, I will come to you. Plead that promise. When you see your sin, when you confess your sin, when you trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, when you acknowledge maybe your waywardness and your careless walk, that paves the way for closeness. This intimate walk in the power of the Spirit. I will come to you. Let's plead it. But let's also plead it when we think about the church worldwide. Because we started with the big picture. The Father will, I will pray the Father, and He will give this gift. We are returning there. For ourselves, we pray, but also for the church, we pray this. Lord, Thou hast promised, I will come. Send us revival. Send us reformation. Deliver us as a church family from our sins. Cleanse us. Take away all the hindrances. Take Thy glorious grace, Lord, and apply it in power through the Holy Spirit so that we understand and have clarity. Thou art with us and at home in our hearts. Dwell in me. What a glorious truth. Fulfill this promise. He comes and is still coming. And we plead, do not pass us by. Come, me personally, but also worldwide. Send revival. Send comfort. Send forgiveness. Come with power to heal us. Cleanse us. And have this broken heart, which we sang about from Psalter, Psalms 51. Which brings ultimately the joy of salvation. Rejoicing with a broken heart and knowing He looks on me. He lives in me. And we plead, Lord, You have promised, I will come to You. Do so, Lord. Let's close with a poem here from Joseph Hart. Descend from heaven, celestial dove, with flames of pure seraphic love. Our ravished heart breasts inspire, fountain of joy, blessed paraclete. Warm our cold hearts with joy. heavenly heat and set our souls on fire. Breathe on these bones so dry and dead thy sweetest, softest influence shed. In all our hearts abroad, point out the place where grace abounds. Direct us to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Thou Spirit, with the Father and the Son, art my mysterious three in one. God blessed forevermore, whom though we cannot comprehend, feeling, thou art the sinner's friend. We love thee and adore. Amen. Let's pray. O sinner's friend, precious Holy Spirit, who exalts that work of Jesus Christ in our hearts, so that we see and know and treasure we are forgiven, we are united to Him. Thy Spirit dwells in us. O blessed Holy Spirit, work mightily in Thy children. Assure them so that each one of us would say, either for the first time or again, Abba, Father, Thou art my gracious Lord and Father, and I am Thy true Son. Lord, we thank Thee for the precious, precious gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that we would never grieve or quench it, but rather that we would walk close. Also in this week of preparation, Lord, bless each one of us, each one, and help us and teach us through the Spirit to draw very close and listen and love and treasure the greatest gift of all, Thyself. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.